Danny Ainge. He is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. And is brought to you by GE, the official data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. Mr. Ainge, hello, sir.
How are we doing this morning, guys?
I can tell you what, nothing like getting up before 4 and rocking out to a negative 6-degree day. Really enlivens the spirit.
In the Mall of America, though, you got food everywhere.
They don't open for another 2 hours after we get off the air.
That's a big problem.
So we're starving, and yet for some weird reason, they refuse to open up.
The biggest tease ever.
Right, so that's...
What about the roller coaster?
There was apparently a party for media, and there was drinking, food, and roller coasters involved, and I don't think that worked out in the best for a lot of people.
Yeah.
As you can probably imagine. Okay, so we didn't get to talk to you last week, and I've been wanting to get your side of this. What happened with Marcus Smart?
Well, Marcus punched a picture frame with glass in it in his bathroom out of frustration, and he's got stitches in the back of his hand. Should be fine in another week or two.
Did he say what was he... Did you speak with him? And if so, did he say what he was frustrated with?
Yes, I had a long talk with Marcus when he got back into town. And we've had subsequent conversations. And he did tell me, but I can't share any of those things he's frustrated with.
What did you say to him? I mean, when you have a player do something like that and obviously injure himself for something off of the court, what's that discussion like?
Well, I mean, first of all, he knew that he made a mistake. He did a stupid thing, so it's not like I have to tell him how stupid it was that what he had done. But, you know, we all do childish things, and he responded in a way that was the wrong way for him, especially for an NBA basketball player that needs his hands, and he hurt our team.
There were reports out there that his arm is in a sling. Is that the case?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It's just a hand.
Okay. And this is just a stitches situation. How many stitches did he have?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, get on it, Danny.
Is this something
17,
that
we'll say
about 17?
I was going to say that. If I'm one of these owners, I'm saying, where's my Johnny on the spot? Let's get some numbers.
Okay, 11. I'll say. I'll stick.
11. Okay. Okay. Right. We'll hover at that number. Is that, you know, as Danny Ainge, when you look at this, because I've always been under the belief, I like Marcus Smart. I like having one guy who's kind of a maniac on your team, someone who has a little bit of an edge. And you obviously don't want things like this to happen where it affects, you know, he injures himself off the court. But in your mind, is this just Marcus being Marcus, or is it something that you're legitimately concerned about going forward?
No, I mean, you know, Marcus has had... I feel like he's making great strides on the court with his emotional outbursts. I think he's maturing, I've noticed that this year. He's really trying to keep himself in control and, you know, not getting too out of sorts with the officials or when things aren't going his way. But I agree with you. I mean, I love Marcus. I love the edge in which he has and plays with, and his teammates love him. For the same reason. And, you know, there's just, with that kind of personality and with that kind of craziness on the court and just a willingness to sacrifice his body for the ball, you know, there comes a little bit of emotional outbursts in other ways. And not to make light of it, because it is serious when you damage yourself, and he could have done more damage. He's very, very fortunate that he didn't have any, you know, ligament damage or tendon damage or anything, and it's just, you know, just let the skin heal and get the stitches out, he'll be all right.
Now, it's no secret that Marcus had a very, very tough time growing up, and he's overcame so much. Is the team, you know, because he probably hasn't matured like some of the other players that you've had based on these conditions that were out of his control, Is there a part of dealing with Marcus that is, you know, working with him on that? And is it a little bit more difficult than maybe players with a little bit more of a traditional upbringing?
You know, I don't know. Everybody is unique. And Marcus, in many ways, is more mature than most of the other guys on our team. He has a maturity about him in some areas. And, you know, it's just he sometimes doesn't control his emotions. It's that simple. And I think he's getting better at that.
All right, so Marcus Morris takes a hell of a fall last night. He gets taken out of the game. First of all, did you think that play from Michael Beasley was on the up and up last night?
You know, I don't know. I hate accusing guys of something I don't know for sure. It's questionable, but some of the guys in the locker room thought that it was a dirty play, and some, you know, and I don't know. You know, we're just concerned about Marcus Morris, and, you know, he took a ball from a pretty high place. He pulling himself up on the rim, and Beasley ran by him. I don't know if he could have controlled where his body went or not, but anyway, doesn't really matter. We're just concerned about Marcus getting back healthy soon.
How is he? Because I know yesterday, I mean, it's always, I guess, good news when they speak to the press afterwards. It looked a lot worse than it sounded when he spoke, but what's the diagnosis? How is he doing?
I don't know. I mean, we'll know a lot more today, I guess. But, you know, it was sore when he left. But, yeah, it wasn't as bad when he left the arena as it was when he came walking into the locker room. So that's a good sign, too.
Danny, Greg Monroe was bought out of his contract in Phoenix yesterday. He'll be a free agent after he clears waivers. Is Greg Monroe a player you will pursue when he becomes a free agent?
You know what? As much as I'd love to tell you guys all that stuff, I can't talk about that, about the free agents out there.
You need a sharpshooter.
You need a guy who can light it up from deep.
And that is his specialty, as right. You know, Danny. I take it. But in all honesty, is there a position that you look at and you're thinking to yourself, maybe this is some place where we could use more depth coming up with the, you know, with any kind of moves? You still got that exception sitting there. Is there any position that you think you need a little more depth?
Well, you know, I think it's more important on the player than the position right now, but I think we will use that exception, I'm pretty sure, or at least portion of it, to in a trade or a buyout situation before the deadline's passed, but I'm not sure who that's going to be yet.
All right, so this is our weekly Gordon Hayward update. It seems like there's always news with this guy. Now, I know that he went out to Los Angeles a while back, which is good, and was practicing out there, and Brad Stevens was saying he's going to be traveling with the team come March. What are you seeing? Like, what's he doing, and where is he at in his rehab right now?
Well, I think that it's, you know, it's really, this is a big time this next month, because Gordon will start. You know, he's been so restricted that, you know, he's been just biting at the bit to do more and more and more, and the doctors have been holding him back a little bit just to make sure everything's all healed. But, you know, now he's going to start running on the Ultra G, and that's a big step. And, you know, he's just taking more and more steps on the court, as far as just getting, you know, full range of motion, you know, toe lifts and you know, one step side to side and things like that. But this next month will tell a lot.
All right. So, Danny, obviously we're out here at the Super Bowl. And do you and Bill Belichick, do you talk much? I mean, do you ever sit together as the guys who, you know, make the decisions and put things together and share trade secrets?
You know, we've never done that. I have talked with Bill a few times here and there, but I have all the respect in the world for him. I think he's, you know, one of the greatest ever that does what he does. And I do think that Sunday's game is going to be a real battle. I think it'll be a huge, huge victory for the Patriots if they can pull that off, because I think Philadelphia looks pretty impressive.
You're like their defensive line depth. Is that what you're saying? Can you break it down for us?
X's and O's, Danny. Come on. That's what
Danny,
we need from you.
I'm drowning here. People are asking me all these questions about the Super Bowl. I got no answer.
I think you know what I liked about the Eagles in their game against Minnesota is they just kept going. They just kept putting pressure, and they just kept going for it. And, you know, there was no stopping them. And I feel like, you know, like the Jaguars, they allowed the Patriots to get back in that game by just being conservative, it seems like. And you know, Philly looks like the way that they play and the way they played all year is they, you know, they go for it on fourth downs and they keep the pedal down and they have some talented players and their quarterback looks like he's doing a good job. And I can't wait for the game. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm excited. And I think that, the Patriots will pull it out in the end, but I think it's going to be a tough, tough game.
All right. Well, Danny Ainge, it's always a pleasure, sir. Look forward to talking to you next weekend. We appreciate it.
All right. Stay warm.
Yeah, right. Take That's care, impossible. Danny. But thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that.
All right. We have with us Radio Row. You can basically, you're right next to all the people shopping and walking around. And there's a gentleman that I believe is a star. What is your name?
Thank you. Sean James Bremer.
Oh, Sean, nice to meet you. Sean, what do you do at the mall today? Are you a mall walker or just coming to see everything that's happening?
Visit Tate and my friends from what I've experienced and saw. Not seen. Oh, true. Mystic Casino, I participate sometimes too. It's of the area, Prior Lake, Minnesota. You all, yes, Boston's home for sports, the radio station 98.5.
Yep, that's us.
Yep. I'm enjoying what y'all have been doing this week.
Yeah,
of Mall of America.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious, though, as to the game, the NFL game. Say, I have a question. May I ask a question?
Absolutely. Please? Yes, you may.
How do you all feel about, say, the future? Do you all think that there are, like, going to be, like, 8 Super Bowls available after, like, the next 8 years? Like, regarding out west of San Francisco and their thoughts regarding
space travel?
No, not at all. That's geography towards NASA about that.
No time travel?
No, I was thinking, like, made in, Japan, for example. Oh, excuse me. Y'all are real good.
Yes, we are.
Do you have a brother that used to live in Boston?
No.
Okay.
Okay. But see, in about 8 years, that AI is going to be coming out, like the public.
Like artificial intelligence.
Right.
True.
Your laser eyes and stuff like that.
Japan's been, I think, on good behavior for the most part. I think so. Mm-hmm. I'm only a maid, though.
Do you think that there are some people that are robots right now?
No, not at all that. And I don't appreciate that towards a goofy talk, sir. The thing is that I be doing walking research. Walking research is, like, good, you know, exercise.
What have you learned in your walking research?
I find, it's okay with me. I have a good family. We all do have a good family.
Who do you think?
I found in a downtown office of Minnie Hopefulness, the 35W tragedy, they were building or storaging. Yeah, I think it was storaging at night. The office was closed. Oh, yeah, 6:30 p.m. They had a 6 foot tall robot. But Japan's only been doing the table size, you know, on the tables.
Mm-hmm.
On the tables or the Roombas. Yeah, the Roombas.
Oh, so vacuums.
It was like a vacuum.
And I'm always curious because...
Where do you think the robot came from?
I constructive criticism, that wouldn't be the best question to ask because I had spoken, the office was closed at 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't care to, like, listen, you know, try and go and look. You know, I'd rather be at the Styx restaurant listening to good music.
Like, what kind of band you into? What's some good music? Give me some good music.
Good music? Well, considering a babe plays the piano and she's kind of challenged me to about three-fourths measures, yet I prefer A Man's Prayer, Frank Kolslag Woodstrike, 1937.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, there's some two notes at the last of the song. Like, I'm for Deep Purple, but I had to... Mr. Phillips say, okay. We're Here's a good band, but we would AC/DC.
Now, Justin Timberlake's going to be doing a press conference today.
No, thank you. I fall asleep halfway through, and I can never do it again. I mustn't.
Okay.
Lincoln Opera Center, Russian National Opera and Ballet.
Okay. That's the good stuff. What is that figure?
How does one
mean?
Know? Sure, you're a sports broadcaster.
I know.
I prefer know when the Arizona Diamondbacks... 2001, I turn off the TV at the bottom of the ninth or seventh game.
Yep.
Yes.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, who wins? Ask me.
Who's winning the Super Bowl?
Well, that's entertainment. So yourself, you would be better. To me, work. I didn't care for the innocents today. But the Silicon Valley, they never cared. The 41 died. Yet anyways. See, I went to Governor Pawlenty. How many years ago? All I needed was that eye-to-eye contact.
Yeah.
The 35W, they wouldn't have died. He'd say my name on the other side of the door, that Sean.
Krupa. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming by.
Oh, I got one last message.
Okay, one last message, yes.
For four or five Lady Swanks and a Welch and a Sherry. T-A-T-A-N. And I ain't fishing in the home of Kauai, but I am counting them. I don't know what about that 12 to her left.
Yeah,
please.
Okay. You got that from a Peanuts cartoon.
Thank you, sir.
Frank Kolslag Woodstrike, Man's Prayer.
That's right. We all love it. That and Love Gun by Kiss. Here's Love Gun. Here's CBS Sports. That's the best song ever. Here's a CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason. Boomer remembers the life of baseball great Oscar Gamble.
Listen on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row. Presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, yeah. All right now.
Well, that was, that was odd.
He was almost too weird.
It was like the Minnesota faster guy.
Well, that's why I asked him if he had a brother in New England.
That's right. I think that I have a feeling that he will be a big fan of Scott Zolak. I don't think he's leaving anytime
soon.
No,
I don't think so. I think that you've kind of poked the bear.
He's had that jacket on since July.
By the way,
you're aware of that, right?
I want to get this cleared up. When Mike Sherman was here, he sat in the Big Y world-class market guest chair.
Okay.
I want to get that out of the way. And also, while I'm thinking about it, this hour of the Toucher and Rich show from the Super Bowl Media Row is brought to you by Buick GMC.
All right, two things. One, in just a couple of minutes at 9:40, Golden Tate is going to be on. Golden Tate, if you obviously, has got a very, very interesting history. On top of that, he is about to be one of the guys that Matt Patricia is going to be looking at every day, and he has said some very interesting things as of late about what he expects out of
right.
Matt Patricia. And he's right. And Golden Tate, I like the guy very much. He's always good for a sound quote, but he'll be honest in a few. But this is where things get silly, Super Bowl week. So we get all sorts of offers for different guests and different people to come on Radio Row, and our mailbox is full of people trying to come on with experts and things like that. Here's one that I received yesterday. They said, great food, large groups of friends, and cheering for a team are what make a Super Bowl party so much fun. But they also involve lots of finger foods and the sharing of communal dishes. If you plan to host or attend a viewing party this year, most likely that means food will be left out for long periods of time, scenarios that can be recipes for disaster, not to mention all the opportunities for cross-contamination that exist when you're cooking. An estimated 1 in 6 Americans get sick from foodborne illnesses. Would you like to have an expert to come on to speak about the foodborne illnesses that you can have at your Super Bowl party? If you would like to, please contact blah, 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 blah. We should have a foodborne illness Super Bowl party expert on here.
Yeah, just so you can sit. So it's another thing to worry about.
Right.
right. We're already a little paranoid about life.
You know, yeah, I was going to, you know, have this 4 hours where I kind of escaped into something that wasn't my own misery.
Yeah.
And now you're taking that away from me. And by the way, so I can't trust my family and friends?
Yes.
Like, not to, like, wipe excrement on my chips?
According to them, they say that, listen, U.S.
Then good what? You know what? Then good. Then I'll die.
USDA.
If this is what I have to worry about, then I'll die. That's fine with me. If what takes me is eating a pig in a blanket off a tray at my house, then God bless.
All right, I need some patriotic music if you happen to have some. Okay, now this is also where things get a little stupid. And that's when the celebrity angle comes out, where people just have to tell you, hey, remember me? I'm from a certain town that's playing in the Super Bowl right now. If I had to ask you what Boston celebrity bought an ad in the local Boston paper congratulating the Patriots, who would it be?
Donnie Wahlberg.
Hey, yeah, Donnie Wahlberg. Yes,
no question.
Absolutely. And in the ad, it says, "We are all Patriots," in capital letters, and it's got a picture of him shaking Robert Kraft's hand. It says,
"Give me the paycheck."
"Dear Mr. Kraft, on behalf of the people of my hometown of Dorchester, the city of the state of Massachusetts, and the entire New England area," and by the way, it's a period he ends with there. He set it up, but he just ends it with a period. "On behalf of those who have been New England Patriots fans and Boston sports fans for their entire life," where is this going to go, Fred? Where is this going to go?
He's heroes this and heroes that, or the American flag?
"On behalf of those who grew up knowing what it's like to have their hearts repeatedly broken, their guts ripped out, and to have shed more tears than is appropriate for their beloved sports teams. On behalf of those who know what it's like to have walked around with a lingering cloud of impending doom hanging over their heads every day of their lives.
Oh,
on behalf of those old souls who thought they'd never feel like anything but a," and he actually spells it out, "L-O-S-A-H, loser."
Ugh.
"And those fortunate young souls who have only known what it feels like to be a W-I-N-N-A-H, winner. On behalf of all of us..."
John, did you walk around before the Red Sox won feeling real
good? How about stop? You can't do that anymore as a Patriots fan. You gotta stop.
This is someone who is too far removed.
You can't play the... the poor, losers. It's the New England effing Patriots.
You can do it if you write out the accent. If you write out the accent, you can do it.
If there's one fan base that can't bitch ever anymore for eternity about being losers and what it's like to have pain, it's a fan of the New England effing Patriots.
But you're also like kind of like the barnacle on your brother. So maybe it's more of a place.
He's got his own acting career. He's on a TV show that's on every week.
Yes.
Very successful.
His brother is the most highest paid actor in Hollywood, and he's on some show with Tom Selleck.
Well, he's making more money
than
we are.
Tom Selleck, Blue Bloods. Come on
but
now.
He's making more money. I don't know if he makes more money than me.
Listen to this pandering pile of trash. "Thank you for giving us hope." I don't know if he's a pile of trash, but this is trash. "Thank you for helping us believe. Thank you for making us champions. You're an example of how to succeed and occasionally fail with dignity and grace. You've instilled in us a sense of pride that we will never, ever be able to repay you.
No one loses with more dignity than Belichick did.
We believe in Bill. We believe in our Tommy. We stand with our defense. And we are all Patriots. But none of it would be possible without you, Mr. Kraft. Thank you for never forgetting that you are one of us." Yeah, this is filleting somebody who gives you tickets.
Right.
To give you more tickets.
And then also watch Blue Bloods on Friday night when no one's home.
And then what term does he use that's the most cringe-inducing of them all at the end?
Hate us because they in us?
No, that would be a good guess. He goes, "With respect, Donnie Wahlberg."
"Hi, Danny. How are you? Thanks for waving."
"Dan Roach."
"Hey, Danny."
"And Patriots Nation." Like, he's like, "Thank you, because I'm a member of Patriots Nation."
As if we didn't know beforehand.
The marketing term.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. Stop playing the "we're the lovable losers." The New England effing Patriots is the last team you can do that with.
You weren't here in the 70s.
Embrace the hatred that everyone else has for being a fan of the Patriots. You can't play that card anymore.
No, you
it's
can't,
done.
Even if they never won a Super Bowl, you can't play that card because they made the Super Bowl in 1985, which is more than the Lions and Jets. So you can't. If you've been to a Super Bowl,
I can outline those circumstances. I'm on board. But
we got a break because Golden Tate's coming.
Okay. If you've made a Super Bowl, you can't do that. We will return here to the headlines.
From the food court at Mall of America, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We are also on NBC Sports Boston. Throwing that in to impress the guest. He's excited about his presence on both media. I usually don't say the TV part, but I'm trying to impress you. Golden Tate, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, of course. Matt Patricia going to be the next coach of the Detroit Lions. And as someone who is a Lions fan, I was very excited to hear your comments on Matt Patricia and what you were expecting from him.
Yeah, pretty much. When he comes in, I want to win now.
Yeah.
I'm going in year nine. I really don't want to hear the developmental part, and we're building. We have what we need to win games, and I'm expecting to win now, own our division, be competitive week in and week out, as we were this year, of course. You know, and let's not take anything away from this past season. We were 4 or 5 plays away from our season being totally different. So, but, you know, Patricia's coming from, the norm is AFC championships and Super Bowls, so that's what we're expecting too. You know, good luck this Sunday, but come on over to Detroit. Let's get to work.
Was Caldwell kind of dopey? Because he's always looking all dopey.
Did
you want him to still be coach? Or?
Yeah, I love Caldwell. I see him like as a father figure. He's like,
but what about as a coach?
I think he's a great coach. I mean, he resonates with everyone when he speaks. Like, it's just like. We can have this whole room that's super, super loud. And so when you see him, like, get ready to speak, you're like, what are you going to say? Because he's so powerful in his words, but his demeanor is so calm. Like, he's so calm, but when he speaks, his words speak volume.
I've never seen him show emotion, ever. What's the most emotion you've ever seen him show?
I'm sure this is the first time you've been asked that.
Well, kind of. So I fumbled last season after we had like 5 turnovers in like the second half, and I come out first drive, we're driving the ball, and I fumble and we lose it. And as I'm coming to the sideline, I just say, he's a father figure. I don't want to disappoint Dad, pretty much. His arms are crossed and he's just looking at me like, come on, man. And I felt so bad, but that's it. It wasn't like...
That's the most of all. Like, right. You've never seen him, like, get excited or happy, and, like, it's just the same face at all times.
He's definitely happy. You know, he comes into the locker room after a big win. He's definitely smiling, laughing, and he cracks jokes. I mean, we talk about golf all the time, and, you know, he's a happy guy. But just, I guess to the media, he's calm. He's calm, cool, and collected. He's a cool dude.
All right. Have you ever seen a picture of Matt Patricia without his beard?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm going to pull it up for you right now.
Oh, boy.
He looks like the tech guy at the IT department.
He's a rocket scientist that he studied.
While you're looking for that, I truly believe this with all my heart. When you played Dallas in that game,
look at that. That's it right there.
No way.
Yeah.
It's him.
Looks like a square.
Yes. He's a very... He looks like somebody who could fix your computer in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but now, with that beard, he looks like a freaking badass.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right. He goes from nerd to, like, you know, Bluto.
Yeah, like, I'm intimidated if you look at this picture. These pictures right here.
He's like a pirate.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, that's scary.
Will the Fords make him shave the beard?
Maybe. Trim it up.
Yeah, probably not the best thing.
Take a number 2 to the burn.
All right. So you're part of the team that was that lost to Dallas in that playoff game. That was a travesty. Do you believe, because I've talked to officials about this, do you believe that game was fixed?
The one where they picked up the flag.
The ones where they picked up the flag and then they picked up a flag and all the other stuff, the 10 holds that were on that final play that Romo threw the touchdown. Do you think the NFL wanted Dallas to win that game?
After playing in that game, it made me think about a lot of situations and what the NFL wants and what's going to help the NFL. So it's definitely gone through my mind. I have no... I don't have a complete study on it, but I have reason to believe, because I've never, ever seen you, what was it, a PI?
Yeah, yep.
And it was a very clear PI. I mean, I think Helen Keller could have seen it.
No, he ran into him face first.
Right, and they marked it, moved the ball.
Yes.
And then they went back and talked about it. They must have been you know, called in, hey, like, you know those Buffalo Wild Wings commercials where they want the extend play? It felt like that, but it was working against us 100%. Yeah, you spot the ball 15 yards or whatever it was, and then you go talk with your buddies, and then you take it back and wave it off. What the hell?
Yeah.
When's that ever happened? Unless it's happening to the Lions, of course.
You guys do get screwed a lot.
All the dang time. I don't get it.
Yeah. And it's in this season there were some instances, too. I don't know what the deal is, but all I know is that one of my favorite quotes from you was, we're not big fans of Jim Schwartz. I don't know what you thought about him.
Jim Schwartz is the worst.
Okay.
I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't know him personally, but
Did you see when he was in Buffalo and he was defensive coordinator in Buffalo?
This is the
they
quote.
They carried him off the field?
Yeah, and they carried him off the field.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Rudy?
He won his Super Bowl.
And wasn't it in a preseason game?
Was it? In the preseason or was it the first couple weeks?
It was in the first couple
weeks. We played him twice that year. Yeah, I mean, come on. Stay classy.
That's right. He had his players carry him off the field because he beat his old team.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, the ultimate jackass move.
Do you know anyone on that Buffalo team that you talked to about it and they were like, I don't know what the hell was happening? Okay. I'm just curious if anyone on the team was like, why did we do this? I feel a little ashamed of myself.
I think they had talked about it before the game. Like, hey, bro, you know, if we win, you know, I used to coach there. Like, carry me out to the field. All right, you cool with that? No, it's not cool.
Yeah. No, it's not. All right, so
I do want to ask. There's a one of the great Golden Tate stories is a couple years ago. I need to find out the truth behind this. The Top Pot Donut situation, where at 3 a.m. you were inside of a donut store and apparently had the late night cravings. What was the story there?
You gonna bring it back up, man?
Because it's a great story.
It's relatable.
Rookie year, right? Like, something that
you didn't do anything wrong.
You know, I was, you know, trying to get my street cred up.
So you broke into a donut shop,
you know, and robbing a bank wasn't my thing, and you know, and
figured the donut shop,
all the other illegal things. So I thought that was going to, you know, give me some street cred. Now, you know, I lived on top of Top Hot Donuts, and I was coming home after a few beverages that night, and you know, the door was open, so I went in and got some donuts, and you know, I should have left $3 or whatever. I mean, but you know, they were cooking them that morning. I mean, it was like 3 a.m. They're cooking them, and they just smelled unbelievable. And it was just silly. I was young and dumb and college mind, and thought I could do anything I wanted. And it was illegal. It was wrong, and I'll never do it again. And
oh, come on.
Should marijuana be legal in the NFL?
They shouldn't touch marijuana. Wow, you guys are firing them at me. So what about those Hershey bars? Talk about some edibles or something.
You want some?
I don't think it ever will be legal in the NFL.
Why not? Because if you think of, you know, what they shoot players up with, and that the idea that opiates are, you know, a form of heroin,
And so addictive.
Incredibly addictive. And now that it shouldn't even matter, but now that marijuana is legal in so many places.
More places than not.
It's still in Detroit, it is still, right? You can get a card?
Yeah, I think you can get like medical.
Yeah, you can get a medical card.
I wouldn't know. I stay away from that type of stuff.
Okay, that's fine. But just
we're
for
on TV, Golden.
Just for and watch, no one's watching. Don't worry. So I'm being serious. All right. So but don't you think that it's ridiculous that the league, if that can be serve as like a pain, something to manage pain, it's non-addictive. Don't you think it's a little ridiculous that the league has made that like a banned substance?
I honestly think the league could probably cover their tail if they did legalize it, because obviously guys are retiring and then they're saying, hey, that the team doctors fed us opiates like it was candy, and you know, it would just cover them. And if you know, I guess smoke or take THC, however you want to do it, it would probably minimize that a little bit. But right now, I don't know if you guys know, but we have pretty much a no drink policy. So if I'm driving, if I have a glass of wine with you guys to celebrate winter Super Bowl, and then I go out here and drive and get pulled over, and I'm under the legal limit, like I'm totally fine, and they write it down, I get put in the system where I'm getting tested 3 times a week.
Jeez.
So we, like, doesn't matter. Like, I can go take communion and drink, wow, you know, a quarter of a glass of wine, and I get pulled over, and they test me, and they write it down. I'm in the system right now. So, you know, you got to be careful with those type of things. But I don't know. I think they definitely should look into it. I think it would make a lot. It'd be a lot safer on your body. I think guys would probably feel a lot better. Obviously,
I don't know. But, I get a little paranoid.
I don't know. I mean, it's something they should definitely look into. But I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk yesterday with Goodell went up there trying to make NFL better. And one thing that people bitch about is the catch rule and how it's affected so many games this year. How would you, as a player in the league, change the catch rule to make it fair?
I just think you need to make it. It's too much of a gray area, and it's too much of a subjective call. It needs to be way more objective. You need to find whatever you want to call a catch in the rules, and you need to stick to that. It needs to be whatever the baseline is, and you need to just completely stick to that.
What would your baseline be?
If it's in your hands for X amount of time, you get, I don't know, 2 feet down or make an athletic move, whatever it might be, that it's a catch. But when you start bringing in, you know, what I saw with my naked eye, what I see in slow-mo, what I see in real time, you're kind of confusing not only yourself, but everyone out there.
Yeah, and it also makes
sucks
the game
to watch.
Drag.
Yeah.
You're going down to, like, the microsecond. It sucks.
Right. I mean, because, like, you can catch a ball and you see a little bit movement in slow-mo that you never see in real time. Oh, now it's a question. I don't know if it's a fumble. And then you got the rules guy who's chiming in.
Because it takes 10 minutes for them to figure out.
Yeah, and it's slowing up games. But it's I've seen it. I've been on the right side of success with that. And I've been on the wrong side, too. So it's tough. Now, and you got to understand, like, the referees are humans. And there's human error, of course. But you just got to make it so it's night and day. It's clear, and you can get it done. So, yeah. And they also need to look at the 10-second runoff rule when...
Oh, yeah, where you got screwed this past year.
Oh, my God, you got screwed in that,
too. That's another game you got screwed.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something against the Lions in all seriousness?
Absolutely.
Because I really do.
Yeah, it seems like it's... I don't know. We're always good to get a 2-3 questionable calls against us.
And they're not just questionable calls. They're, like, weird...
Game-changing type of calls,
like
phantom face mask, you know, PIs that have been marked, called back, you know, missed, you know, ball on the one, punched out of your arms, defender bats it out of bounds, no one calls it correctly. You know, I could probably name, just off the top of my head, 8 or 9 instances where I'm like, geez. How?
I truly believe that Dallas playoff game was fixed. All right, so you are here. You were with Hershey's. You were wearing a Hershey's gold jersey.
Bling, bling, baby.
That's right. Real diamonds encrusted.
Yeah.
I'm freezing next to him. He's very icy. All right, so what's going on?
You know, my name is Golden, as we all know, and Hershey Gold has come out with this gold bar, and with the Winter Olympics coming up, there is a chance, in case you don't want to go buy it, to win a Hershey's gold bar. So every time America wins gold in the Winter Olympics, which we expect to happen pretty often, right?
Sure.
That's right.
Hershey's will be having a promotion code, coupon online. And if you put it in, you can get hopefully around 10 bars, because that's how many golds we're going to win. And so, yeah, I'm just here representing them in this sweet jersey. You know, and I got the J's to match.
Oh, very nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, just out here having fun.
It's like a mix between Jordans and Uggs down there. It almost
sounds
like.
Yeah, but this is not the Tom Brady. These are Jordans.
Okay.
All right, there you go. 100p. 100p.
All right, Golden Tate,
thanks,
thank you
Golden,
so much
man.
For
we
your time.
We appreciate it.
He was sitting in the Big Y World Class Market guest chair. That'll do it for us. Enjoy Zoe and Bertrand. Bye.